Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. Happy Monday. It's Dr. Karen Kahn, and welcome to the Law of Attraction and Love Radio Show. Today is a very special day. I'm going to be introducing a very special guest in a moment. Now, I wanted to share with you a letter I received from Maya recently. Maya wrote, "Dear Dr. Karen, how can I attract my perfect partner? I went through relationships that were not successful. I was attracting the wrong person. I want to attract the man who will appreciate me and understand me, who's kind and loving. How can I do that? I go places, I meet people, but nothing seems to happen. I thought of online dating, but I don't really feel it's genuine. I'm young, beautiful, funny, yet I cannot find my perfect partner, my other half, my soulmate." Well, Maya, you are in luck today, because today our special guest is Ariel Ford, author of the newly released book, The Soulmate Secret. Now, for those of you that aren't familiar with Ariel Ford, she has helped launch the careers of Deepak Chopra, Neil Donald Walsh, one of my favorite authors, and Jack Canfield. She has had an amazing career and a great spiritual life, but was still lacking the kind of love she always dreamed of. So at age 44, she decided to take seriously her journey to find love. She used the processes that catapulted her career and applied them to her love life. 6 months later, she met Brian, and they were soon engaged. They've been happily married for 10 years, and now she shares this amazing story, and we're going to find out this story exactly today in her new book, The Soulmate Secret, and you can find her at soulmatesecret.com. So, Ariel, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Karen. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much. And I actually need to tell people that if they want to call in live, they can do that and ask you a question a little later in the show. I'll unmute some of the phone lines. So the call-in number is 347-945-6313. So I'll say that again, 347-945-6313. So, Ariel, would you please share with us your amazing story about how you manifested Brian?
Well, I had been using manifestation tools and techniques since the mid-1980s, but I'd always directed my attention to my career. And I have to say that these techniques worked brilliantly. I mean, everything I tried worked, and it was just great. And then when I turned 43, I started to wonder if it would also work on my love life, because at that point I had never been married. So I got really focused and started doing things to manifest a soulmate. And as you mentioned, in 6 months I had manifested my husband, Brian. I created a soulmate wish list. I created prayers and rituals to release the list to the universe. I created a treasure map. I feng shuied my home and my bedroom and built a whole relationship altar in the relationship corner of my house. I did a lot of forgiveness processes to let go of the bad relationships of the past. I started doing a process I call living as if, and it all worked. It all worked brilliantly, and we've now been together 11 years. Now, this stuff hasn't just worked for me. It's worked for a dozen of my friends, including my 80-year-old mother-in-law, Peggy.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, so it doesn't matter how old you are, how much you weigh, how much money you have or you don't have, if you're willing to put a little time, energy, and attention on your love life and what you would like to have in your love life, I know for sure this stuff works.
Oh, absolutely. I can't agree more. And actually, you know, I think a lot of people do have some belief blocks, and one of them being, I'm too old, I'm too thin, I'm too fat. So can you talk a little bit about your book and how you address that?
Yes. One of the important parts of this is to believe that you're worthy of love. Mm. You know, and so if you have, you know, a negative feedback loop that I'm unlovable, I don't deserve love, then I would say, don't buy my book, The Soulmate Secret, just yet. Take some money and go get some therapy. Because until you believe that you're worthy and that you're lovable, you're not going to get anybody else to believe it. And, you know, there are some people who are really stuck in what I call addiction to suffering. They don't know that they're doing that, but if you listen to what they're talking about, you hear it in the conversation and the story that they share. You know, it just never works out for me. It works for everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
I'm never going to find the one. And you know what? When you say those things, all you do is you get to be right, you know. So you first have to get to, forgiving yourself for having these negative thoughts, and B, find some help, you know, find a counselor. All the Science of Mind and Unity churches have really good counseling groups, find therapy, you know, do something proactive to change your belief system. Now, how do I know you're lovable? Even if I don't know you, I know you're lovable because you're interested in love. And one of the first things you can begin to do is to be grateful for all the love that's already in your life. Start to look around and see who loves me right now. What are the friends, family, pets, coworkers, kids that are in my life that I know love me? And how can I start giving more love to them? You know, you want to start being the person who's giving the love, you know, and you do this because A, it feels good, and B, it makes you much more attractive. So you want to be in the state of love before you start manifesting new love. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. And being in that, there's a newsletter that I write. It's one of the best ways to manifest the love is to be in that vibration of love. And you said it exactly, you know, all the different things. People forget sometimes that they have people in their life that love them. And even if it's just the family pet, that's still a vibration. And
exactly.
To be able to, yeah.
It's a good place to start. So loving's really important, and what I like to use to manifest more love is a process I call a feelingization. It's like a visualization, except it's done with deep emotion. So if you can close your eyes and put your attention on the area around your heart and then hook into a memory of a time when you experience love or gratitude or deep appreciation. And it doesn't matter how old the memory is, because what we're trying to get to is the physical sense memory, the remembering of this experience of love. So it could be the time you looked into the eyes of a baby, you know, some memory of experiencing love, and then re-experience in every cell of your body what it felt to feel that love. And then from there, you work into the future and imagine what it's going to feel like when you wake up in the morning and you roll over and you're looking into the eyes of your beloved. And in that moment, you own that experience as your reality, that it is really yours, that this person is not only looking for you, is on the way to you right now. So that's what I call a feelingization, and it's a really important part of the whole process of manifesting a soulmate.
Oh, absolutely. I can't agree more again, because, again, it's about that vibration, about getting as if it's already here, and using that memory is a wonderful tool. So thank you for sharing that.
Oh, you're welcome.
Now, I have a question.
Sure.
How does somebody know that they're ready? Talk a little bit about readiness.
There's a couple of different ways. At first, you want to look at what's going on in your life right now. And actually ask yourself in the most honest way possible, do I have the time, energy, and space to nurture a relationship?
Mm.
You know, then you want to look at your closet and say, am I willing to make 6 inches of empty space in my closet and keep it empty so that somebody could also hang their clothes in there? And even if you never plan to live in the same place you're in now once you meet your soulmate, you still need to create this space, empty a couple of drawers, make sure the nightstand on their side of the bed is empty. And if you find yourself in total resistance to making space, that may be a clue that you're not quite ready yet. And if you're not ready, that's totally okay. You know, I really believe in divine timing. So maybe it isn't the right time for you to be able to commit yourself to the happiness of another. But it may be the time for you to clear out the clutter in your heart and your mind from the bad past relationships that you haven't gotten over yet.
Yes, and so clearing space, you're saying, is not just about clearing your schedule or necessarily clearing your closets, although that is important, but also clearing your heart from some of the old so-called baggage that might
right.
be there from past relationships.
And one of the things I come across quite often is I'll come across more women than men that are still in love with their ex.
Mm-hmm.
And they have their friends saying to them, oh, you've just got to get over them. And what I like to say to these people is, if you still love somebody, then let it be okay that you still love them. Quit trying to resist the fact that you love them. Because if you love somebody, you do. And the only pain you're suffering is in the resistance to it. But what you need to do is stop obsessing about them. You know, find some little corner of your heart where you can tuck away your love for them and just honor the fact that you've had this relationship, that you still care for this person, but stop obsessing. You know, make room for somebody new in your life, because by resisting the truth that you still love them, there's no space for anybody else to show up in. You know, it's like sort of murky mixed messages. One part of you is saying, yes, yes, I really want a relationship, and the other part is saying, no, I still love Joe or Sam or John or whatever his name is, and, you know, maybe he'll come back to me someday, and you're living in this fantasy world that isn't going to get you what you want. So admit that you still love them, find a place in your heart to put them, and when you find yourself obsessing about them, you know, stop. Manage your mind and your emotions. Say, you know what, I'm not going to spend time thinking about this. I'm going to start thinking about who could I go give some love to right now? Who could I go give a compliment to? Who could I go do some act of service for? And distract yourself.
I see. Well, that's a very important distinction between accepting that you're still in love or loving that person as opposed to trying to push it away and causing resistance, and obsession, which is using your time and energy in the now, hoping for something that may never happen. So, yeah.
Well, it's not even hoping. I mean, generally at that point, you know, they're remarried, they're with somebody else, they've treated you so badly, you know, it would never be good for you to go back. You know, so does it, you know, are you getting what you want by hanging on to that? Probably not.
Right. And I have to say that of all the letters that I receive, this theme is one of the most common ones. How do I get so-and-so back? You know, I love my ex, but she's with someone else, or, you know, we broke up and I haven't heard from them. My heart's broken. How do I get them back? So I get this a lot. So I'm really glad we're talking about this.
Yeah, no, it's not about getting them back. It's just about in the deepest part of your heart, you still love them, you send them love, but you just stop thinking about them and start thinking about, okay, for my next relationship, what are the traits and qualities I'd like this person to have? And what do I want my life to look like? You know, what is our day-to-day life going to look like? What kind of things are we going to do together? How much fun are we going to have? Where are we going to go? How are we going to be of service to the world? You know, how are we going to create this great love? Because there's some people out there who have this insane idea that you only get one big love in life. And it's absolutely not true. There's, 4 billion people on the planet? Why would you think you only get one? Who made up that story? It's not true. You know? I promise you, you get more than one.
Well, and that brings me to another question. I think there's also a misconception, which tags into what you were just saying, that there's only one soulmate for you, too.
No. My grandmother always told me there's a lid for every pot, and I would like to expand that to say there are multiple lids for your pot.
Right. Multiple lids.
Now, and the other thing is, let's define what a soulmate is. My belief is that a soulmate is somebody that you can completely be yourself with, someone who loves you unconditionally and you love them unconditionally. And when you look into their eyes, you have the experience of being home.
Mm.
So, yes, you get to have more than one, if you'd like. You know, and if you want to hold on to the belief that it's not possible for you, you can do that, and you're going to get to be right.
Right, you're going to get to be right. So it really is a choice of what we choose to believe.
Yeah, no, it is a choice, and I know it's hard. I know people go into all these, you know, I've actually had people try to convince me that, you know, it just wasn't going to happen for them, you know. And it's like, well, just listen to yourself, you know. You're not even attempting to manage the thoughts that are in your head, you know, and it requires a certain level of discipline. You know, if you want to get into good shape, you know that you have to make certain choices about the foods that you eat and the exercise that you do. And if you really care about it enough, then you make those decisions and those choices. And it's the same thing with manifesting a soulmate or manifesting a job or manifesting a new home or whatever you want to put your attention on. You need to manage your thoughts and emotions, which requires some discipline. There's so many people out there that put more time and energy into planning a vacation than they do into planning their life.
Yes, that is so true.
You know, so if you're hearing this and you're getting plugged in and you don't want to hear this, I have an exercise for you. I want you to go get an egg timer and set it for 5 minutes. And for the next 5 minutes, I want you to be as miserable as you can possibly be. I want you to be as angry, sad, frustrated, resentful, pissed off, crazed, upset. Don't think about anything else for the next 5 minutes. I want you to feel every negative emotion that you've been resisting. And I promise you that you won't be able to do it for 5 minutes. You know?
Oh, my goodness. What? Now, do you have a name for this?
No, I haven't given it a name. I just call it a five-minute exercise because it's a really good thing to do because the pain is in the resisting. The pain is in not wanting to acknowledge I'm angry, sad, upset, depressed, frustrated, whatever it is. And if you can just put 100% of your attention on it and talk to it and see where in your body it lives and what it might need, you can't spend 5 minutes there. It'll dissipate. And then you can go on to, okay, well, what is it I'd really like? You know, and what are those traits and qualities? And if you've written down, I'd like somebody who's open, available, willing, trustable, honest, generous, affectionate, caring, loving, supportive, then take that list and start asking yourself, how can I be more of this?
Yes, yes,
you know?
Absolutely. And, you know, just about your, I'm going to call it the egg timer exercise.
Okay.
As an aside, yesterday I was in a personal transformation class, and we had to be paired up as classmates. And we were working on a particular energy center in the body, and the idea was our partner was supposed to radiate the energy that we are most scared of, and then our job was to stay in our own vibration, in our strength, as centered as we could, despite all the energy flying around us. So most of us picked anger because, for whatever reason, our group, that's how we get unnerved. That's how we get out of our vibration when we feel anger. So the other person's job was to, like, basically shoot, you know, energy of anger, whatever type of anger you said that most affected you. So we were supposed to do this for 5 minutes. And so here we are in this exercise, and the teacher had to stop after 2 minutes because we literally could not be radiating that angry negativity long. It was so intense. We were, like, tired, And when I did it, I literally had a hot flash. And I'm not old enough to have a hot flash, but boy, I was stripping afterwards because I was so hot, directing this anger at this my partner. Oh, I could feel the stuff coming out, but I couldn't hold it. I mean, it was just so difficult. So I understand what you mean about setting for 5 minutes and feeling all that misery and negativity and just allowing yourself to do that.
Yeah, you can't do it.
Nope.
Yeah, and if you would just do it, then it would dissipate and you could go on to, you know, something that's much more positive and life-affirming as opposed to running around angry but in denial that you're angry.
Right. Right. Oh, that's wonderful, wonderful advice. Thank you. And what about, can you speak a little bit about some, when people have bad relationships, or not, I shouldn't say the word bad, but relationships that were no longer supportive for them and they've been hurt, what they can do to sort of unhook that from their current or future relationships?
Okay, well, I'm going to go back to what I said earlier, which I really believe therapy is a good way to go.
Okay.
You know, I mean, there are some people that, are able to process themselves, but if if it's been more than 6 months and you're still walking around really wounded, then you might really want to get some professional help and speed up the process. But the other thing that happens is when we're intimate with somebody, we leave energetic hooks in each other.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to dissolve these hooks. And there's lots of different ways to do it. You can hire a professional energy healer, or one of my favorite ways to do it is to take a salt bath. And this is a really simple process where you fill the bathtub up with warm water. You put in an entire container of table salt, not Epsom salts, table salt. And then you soak up to your shoulders for 20 minutes, and then you sit there while the water's draining out of the tub, and you imagine that these imaginary energetic ties between you and your ex are going down the drain. And then you stand up and take a long, hot, soapy shower, wash your hair, dry off with nice, clean, fluffy towels, and you will have released the energetic hooks to the past. And you can do this more than once. And I also believe that people leave energy in your home. So you can use the Native American technique of smudging to purify and cleanse your home. Or if it's a really nice sunny day, open all the doors and all the windows and take a broom and imagine you're sweeping their energy out the front door and out the back door. So that you want to recalibrate your home and put out the cosmic welcome mat to your soulmate and not have anybody else's energy in the way.
Right, just sort of hanging on kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah, clearing. Oh, those are great exercises. And what other advice can you give to someone who's just not sure where to start?
Well, you know, in the Soulmate Secret, it's really a step-by-step guide. So we start with forgiveness, you know, forgiving ourselves and forgiving the exes in the past, because you don't want to do what my sister calls trying to put ice cream on top of poop. You know, you don't want to create a new relationship when you still have this, you know, nezziness of the past. So you really want to start there. And then, you know, we talked about this a little bit earlier. It's really important to have a detailed soulmate wish list.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to be able to get really clear about the kind of relationship that you want. And I tell everybody the first two items on everybody's list are pretty much the same. Number one on your list is whether you're asking for a man or a woman. This works for gay or straight, doesn't matter. So let's say you want to manifest a straight man. So you're saying, I desire a straight man who is available and willing for a long-term committed relationship or marriage, depending on what you want. Now, why do you need to be that specific? I learned this the hard way. I had one friend who manifested a guy who was everything on her list except he was gay. You know? I thought, well, you know, she didn't specify gay or straight. Right? And then the second thing on your list is geography. You want, you know, if you live in, where do you live, Karen?
Lake Placid, New York.
Okay, so if you want to, you know, you want to spend the rest of your life in Lake Placid, New York, then you want to put that on your list. I desire a soulmate who either already lives in Lake Placid or is eager and willing to move here.
Right. And I did put the latter on my list.
Yeah, because I had another friend who manifested her perfect soulmate, only she lived in Columbus, Ohio, and he lived in Sydney, Australia. So those two items are pretty much the same. And then you can get more specific. You know, if you're somebody who's training for a half marathon and you like to be outdoors and you're very fitness-oriented, then you're going to want to specify that you want somebody who's athletically inclined, because the last thing you need is a couch potato.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Or if your last husband, you know, was a crazed golfer and you don't like to golf, don't ever plan to golf, but your thing is really tennis, and you want somebody who's going to join you at the country club for tennis games. So start thinking about every aspect of your life. If you want children, you want to be sure to add that in.
Right.
So, and your list can be as long as you want it to be. Now, in terms of the physical aspects, I would only add the things that are deal breakers for you. So if you're a non-smoker and you want a non-smoker, add that in. You know, if you're in your 50s and you want somebody who's age appropriate, then put an age span in there. But you don't want to, like, be specifying, well, he has to be 6'2 and a half, weigh 181 pounds, you know. It's not necessary. If you're so shallow that you're only going to be happy with somebody who looks this particular way, then, okay, you could give it a try. But for most people, it's the qualities of the heart that are more important than the physical qualities. I mean,
right,
I had things on my list, like I wanted somebody where English was their first language and that they walked unassisted. I was that specific. Now, some people don't care, but I had been through, there were reasons for that, You know, I've been through prior relationships where English was not their first language, and it was hard for me. You know, I wanted somebody who, you know, culturally was closer to what I was comfortable with. You know, I can get all the culture I want when I travel to India and Asia, and I drop in and drop out, you know. So be specific. And then once you have your list made, it's always a good idea to have your best friend check it over and really go through it with you to make sure you didn't leave out anything really important. For instance, I'm a cat lover. I've always had cats. I'll always have cats. But the guy I dated prior to meeting Brian was allergic to cats, which created a lot of problems. You know, the cat lover was high on my list. You know, I didn't want another, you know, sneezing, runny-nosed mess who couldn't have a good time at my home.
Right, exactly.
And so once you have your list, then it's a lot of fun to create a ritual to release it to the universe. And what I did with my list was I decided that on a Friday, because Fridays are the day of Venus, goddess of love, I went down to the La Jolla Cove and burned my list, said a prayer, burned my list, and then scattered the ashes into the ocean, and then took myself out for a very lovely lunch and ordered a glass of champagne and toasted my soulmate and told him I was ready for him to arrive.
Beautiful.
Yeah. And if that sounds too strange, you can just write your list out on a beautiful piece of stationery and fold it up and put it in your Bible or favorite spiritual book. Or my friend Danielle put hers in a pink envelope and stuck it under the mattress. I had another friend who put hers on her love altar. I know somebody else who folded their wish list into a tiny little square, put it inside a pink helium balloon, said a prayer, and released it to the heavens.
Wow.
That was a cool one. Yeah, so there's lots and lots of ways to symbolically release this list. And the reason you want to do this is because you don't want to be obsessing about it. You know, you've put it out there, you've said your prayers, you know what you're asking for, and now it's time to let it go and start acting as if, start behaving as if you know and trust with 100% certainty that they're on the way to you. You don't know what day they're going to show up, but you're ready for them. How do I know you're ready for them? You've cleaned the clutter out of your house. You know, you've created space for them. You're living as if, which means you're buying greeting cards you're going to give them someday in the future. You're buying concert tickets or play tickets that are coming up in the future that you're going to attend with them someday. You're excited and enthused. You're enjoying the life that you have right now. You're savoring the waiting. And you're knowing that at the right time, you know, they're going to show up. And it's not your job to know how and when that's going to happen. It's only your job to be anticipating their arrival.
And to be really clear, like you said, for your list of what you really want, what's really important for you.
Yeah, exactly.
And a lot of people have trouble with the waiting part. can you talk more about that?
Yeah, I get emails all the time and these people, I'm so impatient. Well, you know, think about it this way. You know, let's say God, goddess, whatever you believe in, has picked out the perfect soulmate for you. But for whatever reason, whether they're going through a divorce or they're on their way moving to your town, or they have a child that's sick, or they're going through a career change, or whatever, now is not the right time for them. You know, wouldn't you rather wait for the absolute right time? You know, maybe it's going to be in 6 months. Maybe it's going to be in a year. You know, you need to just trust. If you're going to do this process, you're going to need to trust that the right person's on the way and it's in the right timing. And maybe you're not ready. You know, maybe the place to look is, you know, what do I need to clean up about my past, or what do I need to do to get ready so that I'm fully 100% available for the kind of relationship I just put an order in for.
Exactly. And I do often find that, especially with the people that say they keep manifesting the, quote, wrong partners over and over again, that they keep doing and acting the same way and somehow magically think that it's supposed to be different this time.
The changes need to come from within, which is why it's a good idea to look at the soulmate wish list and ask yourself, you know, how many of these traits and qualities am I possessing? Mm-hmm. You know, where in my life could I be more loving, more generous, kinder, you know?
Exactly.
And I know that this works. And in the Soulmate Secret, I have a dozen stories from various friends of all kinds of different ages, both men and women, that have used these processes to manifest their soulmate. And they're now madly in love, happily married, together with their beloved. You know, it worked for me, worked for my 80-year-old mother-in-law. It works, but it requires a little bit of energy.
Right.
You know, I don't have a magic wand. But I do have a technique, a proven technique that totally works.
Right. And I love that, you know, you were talking about, you know, putting that energy and focus into it. It's not just about, okay, well, I just want this, and then sitting back and really not putting energy into it. And you have a whole chapter on action.
Right. And what I mean by action is once you've created your list and your vision board and you've cleared out the clutter and you've done the forgiveness processes and you've, you know, really embraced all of this, then when I say take action, I don't mean that you have to make a to-do list of things to do, like, okay,
right,
join this club, go to the library, try this coffee shop. What I mean is to start listening to your intuition. So if somebody calls you up at the last minute and says, oh, I was just invited to this great barbecue, why don't you go with me? You check in and say, should I go? And if there's a part of you that's saying, oh, I'm too tired, you may want to ask, but if your soulmate were there, would you get some energy?
Yeah.
You know? Maybe,
right.
Maybe it's time to try new things. Maybe it's time to try online dating. I can't tell you how many people I know have met their soulmates on online dating. You know, but that also requires some energy. In fact, I've heard that just the process of joining eHarmony could drive you crazy because there's hours worth of work to do.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. I know this from my mother because she went on and she kept complaining about how much work it was. It's like, well, the result's pretty big, you know. Do you think it's worth a try? So I know plenty of people who have met their soulmates on online dating. So when I say take action, check in with yourself. Check your intuition. You know, is this the right thing for me to do right now? And then if it is, go do it.
Right, because there's no absolute right or wrong for each person. You know, one person online dating resonates with and another doesn't.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, and that's you bring up a good point. There's no absolute right or wrong on anything that I recommend. You know, it's not black and white. What I put into the Soulmate Secret is what I personally used, what worked for me. But if there's something in there that doesn't resonate with you, then don't do it. It doesn't mean that, you know, oh, if I skip this step, it's not going to happen for me. I know a few people that only did one or two of the things I suggested, and it still worked for them. I know other people who've done every single thing, and they're starting to date a lot more, but they haven't met the one yet. But the good news is they're finally dating.
Mm-hmm.
And I just talked to a friend of mine this morning who's been divorced for a long time, and she finally did some of the processes in the book, and she said, I can't believe it. I'm dating this guy now. He's not like any of my exes. And I said, well, shouldn't we be celebrating this?
Yeah.
I said, I don't know if I can get used to it. I said, but isn't this what you asked for?
Right.
You know? But there's a part, it's so foreign to her, she wants to find something wrong with it. And I said, well, you know, if you want to screw this up, you could, you know, or you could just be grateful that you're together enough now and powerful enough to start getting what you asked for.
Absolutely. In my experience, it seemed to me that I really needed to stretch and shift some of my belief systems in order to manifest my dream partner. And I didn't, on my list, I didn't put anything about age. I mean, I actually forgot, you know, and I didn't actually think it was that important until when I manifested James. He looked so young, and he ended up being only, I think, 6 years younger. But immediately I thought, well, this can't work. But you know, my friend said to me, well, why not? And I said, I don't know, because he's younger. And she said, well, you know, as your friend, I'm just going to tell you objectively, I think you need a younger man. I said, why? And she said, well, because you have young energy. She said, my mom's like, you know, 8 years older than my dad. I said, really? She said, yeah, I think you need a younger guy. And then I started becoming open because I didn't really see him as my dream partner yet because he didn't, on the outside, fit all the criteria I wanted. I wanted a figure skater and, you know, the whole, I wanted a figure skating partner. And it was only when I became, you know, when I stretched my belief system and said, okay, am I willing to accept someone who's 6 years younger because it's not that big a deal in my criteria. It was at that point then things started developing but it was interesting for me just how I kept having to stretch a little bit. He wasn't a figure skater yet. He was an inline skater, you know. the chances of him becoming a really good figure skater is really slim if you look at sort of the statistics of, I mean, just how hard it is to figure skate and how many people like it and how many people would actually look good on the ice, let alone do pairs, which is so much harder than singles. But, you know, the universe had, you know, been very creative in manifesting this partner. They knew they couldn't find
it. How's it going?
Huh?
How's it going?
Oh, it's awesome. It's awesome. We look, we're on YouTube. You can actually see us skate on YouTube. We won the adult national championships last year.
Oh, my God. That's so great. All right.
Yeah, it was fun. It was the very first time he had ever competed. And it truly is magical because he wanted a woman who would play African drums with him. And I've become his, you know, prodigy student. And been learning drumming very, very quickly, much quicker than the average person. And then he has become this, you know, prodigy in skating, and most adult skaters do not learn skating this quickly, not, you know, let alone pairs, but he's literally a gifted athlete. Like, I had no idea, you know?
Wow.
Yeah, so it's definitely a dream come true, and I have to say it's pretty rare to find somebody with those qualifications and make it happen. So
that's so great.
Yeah, it's been really fun. What do you say about answering some mail? Does that sound
good?
Sure.
Why not?
Okay. Awesome. Well, we have one here from Andrea. Andrea says, after asking the universe for 2 years for my lovely partner, 5 months ago I met a lovely person that has almost all of the items on my list. As soon as we met, he showed lots of interest in me. Oh, that's one of the things on her list, somebody who was very, very interested in her. But after 3 months, his initial interest seemed to wane, and now he told me he's not in love with me. I'm still in love with him. I wonder what I should do. Let him go from my heart and mind the sooner as possible and focus on finding the ideal partner that really loves me, or working to attract Jeremy again into my life. And if so, what do I have to do that? I don't want to touch his freedom. Thank you very much.
Well, I think she answered her own question. I mean, if somebody tells you they don't love you, then why in the world would you want them?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
I find that men tell the truth pretty quickly about who they are and what they're up to. And quite often, women think they'll change them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've had so many people write to me, well, he's pretty much told me that he doesn't really want a relationship at this point in his life. It's like, okay, well, your list says that you're looking to get married and have kids, so why are you still hanging out over there? Oh, well, you know, he's bound to change his mind someday. Yeah.
Well, it seemed so perfect before.
Yeah, no, that's, you know, remember a little earlier we talked about addiction to suffering?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm not a psychologist, and I'm not really qualified, but having done therapy for many years of my life, I can tell mm-hmm. you that, you know, if you're willingly sticking around in a place where you're not getting what you say you want, then chances are there's some part of you that's enjoying the pain.
Wow. And that's a tough thing to admit, really.
Yeah, but you're not going to get what you want by, you know, whining and, oh, why won't he change and why can't I get him to do this or get him to do that? You know, you have to really look and say, what's true about what I'm up to? Do I really want to share my life with somebody else? And if that's the truth and you're with somebody who's just told you, I don't love you, then what are you going to get by hanging around? More pain, right?
Right. And then it sounds like some, you know, this recurring pattern for some people sounds like an unconscious blueprint from probably way from their childhood, where somehow their self-esteem is locked into changing people.
Yeah, whatever it is. I mean, I'm sure there's lots of good psychological reasons for it, but the thing is to notice that, oh, I say I want this, but I'm settling for that. You know, do I want to, you know, make a change here? And do I want to get some help making that change?
Right. Right. Absolutely. Well, here's another, this is a quick letter, and it's kind of a loaded question, which is why I'm presenting it here. This is from Miss Siegel, and Miss Siegel asks, why do most men never give themselves a chance to know their partner well?
I don't think that's true. You know, I that hasn't been my experience. Has that been yours?
No, and you know, my point in presenting this was just to highlight the belief that this person has.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, it's not true. That may be her truth.
Exactly.
You know, these guys don't want to get to know her. But no, the problem's not out there. It's not over there. You
right.
know, the thing to do is to get clear about what it is that you want. Look and see if what you've got is what you want. If it isn't, then make the changes necessary.
And that is, you know, for some people, it can just be so challenging to change their belief system. They're so attached to what they believe.
You can hang on to that belief, and when you get tired of it, then you'll change.
When you get tired of it,
yeah,
you really...
Yeah, it's, you know...
It no longer serves you.
Exactly.
Absolutely. So here I have a letter from Joyce. Dear Dr. Karen, I had a 2-year relationship with a man I was deeply in love with, and I declared him as my soulmate. We said we were like crazy glue. All of a sudden, he had an affair, and it devastated me. I'm still in a sad mode and have not surrendered. I'm still in love with him, and he still leads me on and tells me God is in charge of whether our love relationship will be a dream come true. He continues to tell me he will never meet another woman like me. It's such a sad story. I'm not really sure what to do. My heart is completely broken. Thank you for your advice.
That is a sad story. Well, I guess what she didn't tell us enough to really know what to tell her to do. I mean, did he say it was a one-time thing, and did he apologize, and, you know, was it just a one-night thing, and he got scared at the concept of being crazy glued to somebody for the rest of their life, and is she willing or unwilling to forgive him? I mean, there's just not enough information there.
Right, right. I think she did write, I guess, see if I can find the second half here. Let's see. This is interesting. He said he made many empty promises, and then he would lie to me.
Oh,
and...
okay. All right. Well, it depends. On her soulmate wish list, in the top 10, does she want somebody who's a liar?
Right. Yeah, I think
not.
He's very charming because he says, oh, she's the complete package, and I've never met anyone like you. But obviously, she doesn't trust him.
Yeah, well, that's like so critical. If you don't have a guy who's trustable, then what good is he? Yeah, it sounds like that she's gonna have to let go of the fantasy that he's the one. And I don't know what it takes to dissolve crazy glue. But that's a very powerful image that she's put into the ethers, that she's crazy glued to this guy.
Wow.
And I would suggest that she work with an energy healer, unstick her energetically from him, and start the process of healing her heart.
Well, that's a really good catch, actually, because of that term, crazy glue. I didn't think of it at first, but thank you for that. That's a great catch. It's amazing what our visualizations and the wording we can use can
really... You know, they actually when people have surgery now, they glue them back together. A friend of mine just had major surgery, and they use this stuff called Dermabond. They shouldn't have stitches. She doesn't have staples. She's been crazy glued back together. So imagine what that does to your psyche if you think you're crazy glued to some guy who lies and cheats.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's got to be such a drain on your energy.
Oh, absolutely. I have one here, let me see, from Janice. Hi, Dr. Karen. Right now, I'm somewhat depressed. I took approximately 7 years off from dating guys and because I was consistently attracting the same type of negative people. So I worked really hard on my self-esteem and forgiveness and loving myself, etc. However, recently I met a gentleman with most of the qualities that I had on my list. After about a week of dating, which I really enjoyed, for example, he was a true gentleman, he abruptly told me that things are not going to work out between us. I was so devastated. After so long, I met someone I really liked, and it ended that quickly. Can you shed some light as to where I went wrong?
I don't know that she went wrong anywhere. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the whole purpose of dating is we discover things about each other, and, you know, sometimes it's not right for us, sometimes it's not right for them. It's probably not personal. I wouldn't make an assumption that they did anything wrong. It just, you know, obviously he's not your soulmate.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah,
unless it's a pattern, unless you can say, oh, okay, well, the last 7 men I've dated, we made it to the 3.5 week mark, and then suddenly they were gone. Then I would say you need to look and see, you know, what are you doing? You know, and a lot
right.
of times, you know, women get really aggressive. You know, they're calling them, they're emailing them, they're texting them, they're naming their babies. You know, it's scaring these guys, you know.
It's true. Been there, done that.
You're right, in the masculine-feminine thing, someone gets to be the boy and somebody gets to be the girl, you know.
Right.
And generally, the boys like to be the boys.
Right. Oh, that is that is so true.
Yeah, so if you're doing the pursuing, you know, you have to look at that. I mean, it's people say, oh, I don't want to play games. It's not about playing games. You know, we're biologically set up to be, you know, there's the whole hunter-gatherer thing.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's going to be the hunter, that's the boy. Somebody will be the gatherer, that's the feminine energy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to figure out which one you want to play. Now, there's plenty of guys who are happy to play the feminine role, but don't be making them wrong when you're doing all the work. You know, and that's a whole different book, and that's not what my expertise is in. I mean, I learned that the hard way because I made a lot of those same mistakes. There's a
right.
really cute movie out on DVD that describes all of this by a woman named Cherry Norris. The book is called Duty Dating. It's
Duty?
Hysterical. Yeah.
Duty Dating. And that's a movie?
Yeah, it's available on DVD. It's really funny.
Oh, good. I'll have to write. Yeah, I'm writing that down. Yeah, I love what you said about that, and you're talking about the what other authors, David Data in particular, calls polarity between the masculine and feminine energies.
Right.
And like you said, it could be the boy that holds the feminine energy in the relationship, but there needs to be that polarity, and oftentimes, I think, and certainly in my experience, the boy needs to be the boy, and I've definitely scared away a couple of past dates just because I was just so forthright and so masculine.
Right. And that's great in business. It's really effective in business. But, you know, when I was dating, I used to come home from work and then take a long hot bath to energetically shift out of work mode, which is masculine-based.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and change my clothes and really step into my feminine persona when I was getting ready to go out on a date. It was a conscious effort. I really like David Data's work. I think it's really important stuff. I like what he says about the stage B relationships where there's all these people thinking it needs to be 50-50.
Right, stage two, yes.
Stage two. And if you have stage two, you know, it's going to be really boring. You know, because somebody's keeping score. Okay, well, I wash the dishes, so you have to dry them. You know, if you're really giving your love to somebody, you're not giving with a scorecard. You're giving unconditionally, and you're putting, you know, putting yourself out there and putting yourself into the relationship and vice versa. But you're not there with a scorecard saying, okay, well, I did my part, now you need to do yours. And those are the people that end up the most frustrated because, you know, they have this predetermined picture in their mind of what an equal relationship is.
Mm-hmm.
And if all you want is equal, well, you could probably negotiate that, but it won't be exciting.
It won't be exciting, and it's sort of like having a roommate.
Yeah, a roommate with benefits on occasion.
Yeah. Well, and even the benefit part, the whole sexual attraction, if we can go there, that is based on this the polarity, like the distance between the masculine and feminine energies. And so if everyone's trying to be more equal, if the man's going to try to be more feminine, the feminine's trying to be more masculine, then you end up at zero and there's no polarity, there's no charge.
Yeah.
So there's no sex. or
no
less
chemistry.
So.
Game over.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. There was something you said earlier I was just going to ask you about, and I can't quite remember what that was. Well, it'll probably come back to me. So let me just tell everybody, because we've talked for a while, in case you're listening live and you'd like to call in and ask Ariel a question about her new fabulous book, The Soulmate Secret, you can call in at 347-945-6313. Again, that number is 347-945-6313. And maybe we can take a moment for you to tell us, Ariel, about how people can learn more about the work that you do. And I have, for people that are live on the Blog Talk Radio site, her book is right there that you can click right into Amazon and purchase her products. But how else will people get a hold of you or get to know more of what you do?
Well, my website is soulmatesecret.com. And on there, we've got lots of different videos and audios and fun stuff to look at. If you go to soulmatesecret.com/promo, there's a lot of freebie bonuses that you could get when you buy the book through the site, and it gives you options to buy it through Amazon or Barnes & Noble or lots of other online sites. So pretty much spend some time exploring soulmatesecret.com.
Oh, great. That's fabulous. And are you doing any... live book signings or any workshops?
I just did one over the weekend, but I don't have any more planned right now. So I'm pretty much based in San Diego. I don't have any workshops set up at the moment. I've just been so busy between working with Spiritual Cinema Circle and getting the book launched. I haven't had time to do much future planning. I actually need to start doing that.
Oh, well, I'm sure you're extremely busy. And I did want to plug Spiritual Cinema for a moment because it's such a wonderful, heartfelt project. And I actually, for Christmas, bought several of our family members the Christmas 3-month gift special. So if you could tell us a little bit about this important work.
Yes, we're a DVD club that specializes in movies about love, compassion, and inspiration. And it costs, actually it's free, the first month is free. You can just go to spiritualcinemacircle.com and sign up and get your first collection of films. You just pay $4.95 shipping. And then every month it's $21 a month, and we send you a DVD with 4 films on it that you get to keep. And these are films that we find at festivals around the world. So most of the time you haven't seen them in the movie theaters. But they're really fun to watch. I was just watching our current collection over the weekend, our Volume 3, which has the feature film Jack and Jill versus the World, starring Freddie Prinze Jr. So they're really wonderful films, and you can put together your own little group and have a once-a-month spiritual cinema viewing at your home, make some popcorn and watch some movies and have a discussion afterwards.
Oh, that's great. So you actually encourage small groups to get together to watch.
In the collection, we send you a little newsletter with what we call reflection questions. So after you watch the films, you can manage your own dialogue and discussion about what you've just seen.
Wow, that's great. And how did you come up with this idea for you're a co-founder for the Spiritual Cinema. So why was this important for you?
Well, actually, Gay Hendricks came up with the idea for it, and then Stephen Simon and I partnered with him to launch it 5 years ago. And I just thought it sounded like a great idea. You know, I love to watch movies, and I don't go to film festivals, so I knew there was a lot of good stuff out there that I wasn't getting to see. So the fact that we have an acquisitions team that are screening these movies and licensing them, and now we get them out to tens of thousands of people just to sort of spread more inspiration in the world. Because the design of the movies is that after you watch them, you feel better about being a human being. That's our goal.
Yes, yes. Is there a way that somebody, if they miss a movie 1 month and they signed up late, there was definitely a movie I was interested in December and missed the cutoff, I think. Is there a way of buying them afterwards?
Sometimes. Like, we have on the member site, we have a retail store, so sometimes you can purchase back volumes, but not always. It just depends on the licensing that they did with the filmmaker. So generally, we get a 30-day license to send them to our members in that window. But I may have an extra copy here, so if you tell me what it is you wanted to see, I'll send. Oh, the Louise Hay movie?
Well, actually, it was in that group. It was the musical. The it's the West Bank story.
Oh, and the
Louise Hay movie, those two.
Yeah, I can send that to you. Just email me your address, and I'll send it to you.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, it's
I
a really
so
cute film. Yeah, it's a film about Israeli and Arab kids, and it's a takeoff on West Side Story.
Right.
It's done over there, and it's a musical, and it's about these guys with their falafel stands and the turf war. It's really adorable.
Oh, well, just seeing the preview, I was just, I was just laughing so hard because I love musicals and I love West Side Story. So.
Yeah, I know. It's adorable.
Oh, it was great. Yeah. So thank you for being part of that important work, too. I think there's so much negativity and violence that we see on the tube, on the movies, and how refreshing to have just a different energy. That's great. And we have a couple minutes left. Any lasting last words of advice for people who are wanting to manifest with the law of attraction their ideal soulmate or their ideal mate?
Yes, I would say buy my book.
Yeah.
That would be a really good place to start. It's called The Soulmate Secret. It's lots of fun. The processes are really enjoyable and creative and fun projects to do. It totally works. It'll just be your step-by-step guide. You know, just really commit a little bit of time and energy to getting clear about the kind of relationship you want, the future you want to create. There's more than enough evidence in the book that it works. There's lots and lots of stories, and I'm getting emails every day from readers who find that it's working for them as well. So, you know, it just requires a tiny bit of effort. I think you can get the book for like $16 on Amazon now. So that cost of a piece of poster board and a glue stick, for under $20 you can manifest a soulmate.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
That sounds absolutely great. Well, this has been a wonderful hour. Thank you so much. I know you're very, very busy, and to take time out of your busy schedule to do this interview for our readers and for our listeners, I really want to appreciate you for that.
Oh, thanks, Karen. It's been a lot of fun talking with you.
Awesome. So, everybody, go out and get a copy of The Soulmate Secret at soulmatesecret.com. And until next time, Ariel.
All right. Take care.
You too.
Bye.
Bye. And if you enjoyed listening to the show, the Law of Attraction Love Radio Show, I'd love it if you'd name it as one of your favorites online. So until next time, Dr. Karen Cann signing out. Take care, everyone. Bye for now.